Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bing, ba, bing, bong, bing, bong.
What is this?
I don't know. It's the start of happy birthday. I've had some Easter eggs.
Oh, cool. I'm doing the opposite. And you know this about me. I got a body. It's suggestible. We suggest things. Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Suggestible Podcast. This is a podcast where I want to get through the intro. Can we at least get through the goddamn intro? All right. I'm Claire Todgy. James Clement is here also. We are married. We recommend you things to watch, read, and listen to. It's really nice that you're here. We're both a little tired.
But for different reasons. Claire's been eating a bunch of Easter eggs. I'm going to go in the opposite direction.
All right.
I did a body scan today, and I'm like, well, that's worse than it's been in a long time. In terms of my physicality.
I don't care.
Yeah, so anyway, so what happened, as things as you're asking?
It's not interesting for anyone.
I'm cracking down. I'm back on smoothies. I'm doing delicious smoothies. I'm watching my calories just a little bit more. I'm gonna trim back down, Claire. That's what's happened.
Good, excellent. I look forward to having this same conversation for the next 50 years. That's what marriage is.
Exactly. I'm not going to live that long. Anyway, Claire.
Well, you are. You're having smoothies.
Doesn't matter.
They'll keep you healthy.
So what is a thing that you've watched or read or listened to this week? Or would you like me to go first?
Well, that's the premise of the show, isn't
it? Yeah.
No, I'll go first.
Go for it.
Ladies first, as they say. Let's do it.
Weird vibe in here. I don't like it.
I don't like this weird vibe. Why is there a weird vibe tonight? I don't know. It's so weird.
Anyway, go on. My body is eating itself because that's what happens when you're in a calorie deficit. Maybe that's it.
That's why. I just hate it. Okay, just on a side note, Collins, you can delete this part if it's boring. It probably will be. I do not like this emphasis on calorie counting and exercise and weight body scanning. I don't like it.
You don't have to like it. You don't have to do it.
Because I tell you what, I was having this conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and if there are any women listening, I especially, but actually all people definitely might relate to this. If you are someone that has had food issues, like food eating issues and weight eating issues, it's very difficult to do this kind of thing where you track everything you eat and your calorie count and all that stuff or you go on a meal plan or whatever. Because what happens is it undoes a lot of the good stuff that you've done about just listening to your body and just eating everything in moderation and being kind to yourself and exercising to make your body feel good.
Yeah.
And it can really be very damaging to some people, a certain portion of the population. I'm not saying that. And then what's also interesting to me, my friend was saying this, and I'm not saying this is you, but it sort of is a bit you, that her partner is the same. He can just do the food calorie counting exercise regime without any attachment of emotion to it.
Yeah, yeah,
he can be like, I've had a bit too many Easter eggs. Here I go.
Yes.
And you just do it.
Yeah.
And is that you?
Yeah, that's like, yeah. Sometimes, not always, but yeah.
But generally you don't beat yourself up.
If I really want to do it, I can do it. Yeah.
Yeah, just by deciding.
Yeah, but sometimes I get halfway through and I'm like, I hate this. I'm going to stop.
Yeah, but when you stop, do you then go into a shame spiral?
Not really. It depends. Like the problem, the idea is for me, you don't restrict everything. You know what I mean? You just eat like, you know, slightly less like chocolate and snacks and ice cream, which is what I've been doing.
No. You've missed my question.
You've missed my question.
No, what I'm asking is like, do you attach shame and guilt and feelings of self-worth to your eating?
No, I wouldn't say.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
And that is the crux of the thing. That is the heart of it.
Yeah.
Why? Why is that you don't?
I don't know.
Because women all do. We spend our whole lives just fucking counting every single fucking thing we eat. Do you know that most women I speak to go to bed at night and just calibrate their day by what food they have consumed?
Okay. That's not my fault.
I know. It's not your fault. I know. You're just a simple man eating well and exercising.
Exactly.
And a woman is going mental.
This
in
is
the
not
studio.
A reflect. Like my actions are not a reflection on.
I know. It's not about you.
It feels no, like it's a
no,
bit about
no, no.
me.
I'm just curious. What I'm coming to actually with this, I'm being a bit silly, but I'm curious. Like you just don't attach any of that stuff to it. How? Why?
No, because okay, I'll tell you. Because I feel better when I look better and I'm fitter and stronger and leaner. That's why. And so yeah. I feel good.
Of
and I'd
you
rather
do.
Feel good than feel like shit.
I know that's
and
so
that's
simple.
And that's the motivation.
But that's so simple and straightforward and practical and logical.
Oh, sorry.
And that, of course, it's not that like I, for instance, don't feel better with all of those things in place. Obviously, that's so obvious.
And I'm faster and I got more energy.
I know.
And all of these things.
Exactly. Mm. It's so logical, but it's not logical for me, and I know I'm not alone in this. It's so
no,
many
I'm
people.
Not saying, no, I'm not.
It's not like the decision and the knowledge that it's the right thing to do and it will make you feel better does not stop you from doing the thing and also going into a shame guilt spiral about
you've,
it.
You've trained before for like
yes.
runs
yeah,
and.
Yeah, I know, James.
Whatever.
But there is so much that I've had to do emotionally
yeah,
to
yeah,
get
yeah.
to the point where I could do that. Like in actuality, for me to train and eat well and all the things, I've had to do all of this emotional examining
yes.
of like emotional work around this stuff, right?
Yep.
And then it all just happens once I've done that. And I think that's the crux of it because I've got to this point where I'm 36 and I've done a lot of a work around body and self-image and all that stuff and I've had babies and, you know, all the things.
Yeah, totally, yeah. I mean, like, and that's a whole other, like, obviously that's a whole other thing. I haven't
it
dealt
is,
with
exactly.
any of that. Yeah.
But also the, you have to disconnect your self-worth to your body image and see it as being something about wanting to feel good in your body and feel healthy.
Yeah.
But what is really hard to do is to separate that stuff because as a young person, and especially as a young woman, the society around you is just constantly giving you a thousand different messages in a thousand different ways that if you don't conform to one type of body, therefore you are bad. And
yeah.
if you can't do it, you are something wrong with you. You should feel shame and guilt and feel terrible about yourself. And you have no place in society or worth because of the way your body is, because it doesn't conform to like the bullshit stereotypes. And so we've grown up, particularly millennials, women,
yeah.
I think, particularly have grown up with like Kate Moss and this like heroin chic and all of that bullshit.
I think every generation has like a version
oh,
of that.
Oh, completely, yeah. completely. And now we're coming through in this whole other realm of like acceptance and body love and all of this stuff. And it's
yeah.
so exciting and wonderful. It's just that if you start to go onto any kind of, for me anyway, any kind of meal plan, diet, body examining, forcing exercise, it just brings all of that shit back to me and I can't do it.
Right.
And so being around people like you or my, and it's not just you, there's a lot, it generally is men, but it's not always men. There's
yeah.
like women who are like this too, who are just
there
apply.
There are entire Instagram accounts that are just this.
Yeah, I know, but yeah. there's a lot of issues that go on
no, well, that is
underdiagnosed
true, yeah.
or not said about all that stuff. I guess what I'm saying is the food, body, exercise stuff is so complicated. And it's kind of infuriating when you spend time with people who are just so logical and clear about it and it's not a big deal for you. it's just so interesting.
And also
you know,
I just want to point, and I understand, I completely understand that. Then there's not to say for me, like it's not easy either. Like it's annoying and you got to think about it and whatever. And that is not the same as what you're talking about. Do you know what I mean? But I don't just breeze through it. I'm miserable, Claire. I'm a miserable person.
Yeah, I know. I don't doubt you're a miserable person anyway, and then you doing this makes it more miserable.
Yeah.
No.
Watch tomorrow, I'll just be like, ah, I'm not doing this.
It's just interesting and it's just an observation
yep.
to me.
Fair enough.
And I think the other part of it that I want to say, and maybe we'll take this out too, is that I value you for being who you are and that is not contingent on how fit or not fit you are.
Well, I appreciate that. And I do, but also like I'm not doing it for you. I'm not to insult you, but this isn't for you. This isn't like for anybody. This is because I want to do it. Because if
yeah.
it was for other people, then I wouldn't do it. Do you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. yeah. I know. And also, there's this that I think the main focus.
Oh no!
Right?
Get me wrong. There is an element of like people are like, hey, you look good, and you're like, cool, thanks. Like you know, that's nice, or whatever. But you know,
yeah,
that's not why.
No, I mean, in the end, it should always be about being the like healthy version of you, right?
Yes.
And not particularly necessarily fitting into a stereotype or aesthetic.
Get my chin-ups back, mate. They're on the okay
actually,
at the moment.
And that, yeah, you really need to sharpen up those chin-ups, mate. Yeah. I guess what I'm trying to say is, and this is a long-winded way of saying it, I've come to a point in my life where I've realized that what's more interesting about me is what my body can do.
Yeah.
Rather than what it looks like. And it just happens to be that when you can do more, lift more, run more, jump more, be fitter, and you put better food into your body, you therefore kind of feel more comfortable in your skin. But I'm just so not interested in particular weights or particular sizes or
yeah.
having that kind of enforced restriction. Because I just think everybody's body is unique and different. And why should we have to be forced to try and turn our body into something it's never designed to be?
Yeah. You know,
which is basically what I did for like the first 20 years of my life.
Mm.
Because you sort of feel like your body should look like, I don't know, a Disney princess, for instance, which is what I grew up with. And my body would never look like that. My body's great the way it is. But it's just, there's a lot of bullshit layers to deal with. So,
well, can I say I'm glad you're doing all of this for me. I really appreciate that. That's really kind, actually. I find that very flattering.
Anyway, shall we get on to recommending things?
Good thing we crushed that weird vibe. What's your first recommendation?
So I have an interview, actually, my first recommendation.
You know, just quickly, there's a really positive group, Great Mates group called Healthy Mates, which is about exercise and fitness. If you are so inclined to find a positive, supportive group where everybody's doing different things, like some people might be running a marathon or maybe want to lose a bit of weight or gain a bit of muscle or whatever, or just looking for, you know, just some people are like, you know, like strong people, you know, like really strong people. Like I'm strong.
Weightlifters.
No, but there's like different types of
I mean? Yeah, I know.
It's all variety of people like at completely different levels and everyone's really supportive and like really good advice.
That's really cool.
So, yeah, if you're thinking of, you know, just want to be part of a nice community.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
I like continue. It. You go first.
No. You.
No, I've been ranting. Yeah. No, you tell me. What's your first recommendation?
Are you sure?
Correct.
All right. Well, this is a show called We Crashed, and it's based on the podcast of the same name. It was created by Drew Crivello and Lee Eisenberg. It's on Apple TV Plus, and it stars Jared Leto and Anne Hathaway, right? Now, normally I find Jared Leto an insufferable blowhard with a very sketchy past, right? But luckily in this show, he's playing an insufferable blowhard with a very sketchy past. So for me, I'm like, oh, this guy's awful. Okay, I can kind of, I guess this is fine because I don't like this character or Jared Leto like at all. And so this kind of works for me. Do you know what I mean? This awful person. So basically, We Crashed follows the entrepreneurial rise and fall of WeWork, one of the world's most valuable startups. I think it was ranked third at one point of the most valuable startups like ever or something like that. Like it was something like $57 billion or something ridiculous like that, right? And it's about the characters within that whose chaotic love made it all possible, that being Adam Newman, the Jared Leto character, and Anne Hathaway, who plays Rebecca Newman, who in real life, Rebecca Newman is Gwyneth Paltrow's cousin. So she's kind of got that kind of vibe, but also she's like bitter and jaded because like she's hung up about being Gwyneth Paltrow's cousin, who's a very famous actor and's got her own.
So she's actually.
Yeah, in real life, they are cousins.
And she also plays her cousin in the show.
No, Anne Hathaway is not Gwyneth Paltrow's cousin. The person she's playing in the show is Gwyneth Paltrow's cousin in real life. Rebecca Newman is Gwyneth Paltrow's cousin.
Hang on. This is so confusing. So Anne Hathaway is playing
Rebecca Newman,
Gwyneth Paltrow's cousin, and that is a real person.
That is a real person. These are all real people. This is a real
like
company.
It would be very difficult. It would be almost it's not as difficult as being like the brother or sister.
No, but there's a lot of like she's at a wedding and people are like, where's Gwyneth? And she's like, okay, she couldn't make it or whatever. But I guess the way that this show paints it is the difference between Gwyneth Paltrow, who I don't like, by the way, and this person is that she's like got all that Gwyneth Paltrow energy and love and whatever, all that kind of crap that she peddles.
Okay, I actually think she's great, but continue.
Okay, fine. but she's like bitter and jaded and she has no like discernible ability like of her own really, or to that extent. At one point she's described as the show as having like no light of her own. Does that make sense?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's a really brutal take. Like you hear that and you're like, whoa!
Woman is a real person. She's a real person. Who's watching that TV show.
Yeah.
Jeezle.
And she came up with the motto of WeWork, which is to elevate the world's consciousness. Now, based on that piece of absolute bullshit, what do you think this company is? It's a tech startup. What is it? What would you say it was? To elevate the world's consciousness. What is that? This isn't a test. I'm just curious if you could be like, could figure anything out from anything that I'm saying.
Is it an app? Is it kind of like some kind of blog where you write about consciousness raising?
No.
What are they being conscious for? Are they all unconscious? And she's trying to get everyone to wake. Maybe it's just a website that says, wake up!
They're trying to basically build, yeah, pretty much, it may as it should have been, but it's basically, it's renting office space. So they rent out or buy an apartment block, gut a level of it, make like a modern office with like cereal and a slide and a room you can fucking look at a fish or whatever. You know, those modern office spaces that trick you into going into work, one of those places, and they do that. But just on a massive billion-dollar scale. You're renting offices. That's what they're doing. But they frame it like, oh, we're changing the world and look at this. We're bringing all these different elements of community.
Is this a real thing?
It's a real thing. It's a real company. This really happened.
You're yelling.
Yeah, I know. I know, but it's just kind of baffling. But what I really liked about it is because you watch these horrible people who are horrible in real life.
Why do you like watching horrible people doing horrible things
because
on shows?
You watch them build it and all the decisions that like these people make, in particular the Adam dude, like it's just like he's just getting by on just absolute bullshit. Like he's just this complete blowhard con man, and eventually the whole thing falls apart. So that's what I really like about it, because I'm like, oh, I cannot wait for these people. Oh, my God. I cannot wait for their comeuppance to hit. I mean, and look, to be fair, they're still rich. They're probably billionaires in real life. Who knows? They hide a bunch of assets. But like all the things they did, like it's truly awful and bullshit, because it's a very toxic workplace and really horrible to its employees in terms of like sexual harassment and what you need to do to get ahead or be a part of it. So you got to be drinking every night and like hooking up with people and all these different things. And nobody's paid properly and everybody sued everybody, you know, at the end of the day with this company. So just watching that kind of like collapse in on itself was like, oh, that's good. That's good stuff. Love it. Love it. Yeah. Anyway, it's a really good show.
I can't even begin to tell you how much I don't want to watch that.
Yeah, what's amazing about it is because they frame the company like something that I feel like you would like if it was real. You know what I mean? If it was like an idea of a communal workspace and like everybody's getting along and all things are equal. Do you know what I mean? And this is a place where you can be inspired and be free and set your own hours and all these kinds of things. But it's just not that.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. Office space, right? It's just renting office space, but they're elevating the world's consciousness.
Is it supposed to be a startup?
Yeah, it's a startup. Yeah.
There's a lot of TV shows about startups
recently.
Yeah,
we watched The Dropout recently.
I guess
it's
like that amount of time since that whole big boom of the startup.
Yeah, well, this one just happened. Like it collapsed like 3 or 4 years ago. So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Wow.
Anyway.
Great.
Jared Leto sucks. Look at his background. He sucks. He's probably a sex criminal, allegedly.
Can I talk about something?
Oh, my God, Claire, I would love you to talk about something.
I want to talk about something less depressing.
That's not depressing. That's fun.
Is it just making fun of terrible people?
Yeah.
Collapsing on themselves. Oh, not to mention you made me cry this morning because I walked into the room.
Oh, my God.
It made me cry. I walked into the bedroom. I'd be up with the kids and there was a whole thing happening. And I walked in to say good morning to you to like get some just like, oh, you know when you have a morning, school morning where you're just like, guys, come on, let's get it together.
Let's go. Come on.
Anyway, I walk in and you just wake and I say, good morning, James, in my sweet little voice, my sweet little face. And you go, Did you know that Elon Musk just bought Twitter for like $60 billion?
$44 billion. That's not how I said it. I said it in my regular voice, which is also my shouting voice, I guess.
And then for some reason, I just started crying.
Yeah, because you were like, why would he do that? Like, why wouldn't he do something good? And I'm like, well, because he's terrible.
And then you said to me that statistic, it would only take $6 billion. Because I said something like, he could just actually save our whole entire planet. And it's not even funny. It's actually legit. And I'm going to get to that again.
That's not down to one person, obviously. Do you know what I mean?
But if he's got $60 billion to spend it on Twitter to then for like no real reason, he's not going to actually make any money out of Twitter.
It's free speech.
Yeah, exactly.
He loves free speech.
Gosh. It's not free though, mate. It costs you like $40 billion. On the news it said 60.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a very popular tweet that was like, I can't believe you paid $44 billion for Twitter. I just downloaded the app or whatever. Yeah, well, because the thing is as well, like he's mentioned a number of things that like he said he would do that he doesn't do, right? I've had this conversation multiple times, both online and in real life, with people like, he's great actually. And I'm like.
But you said to me, the statistic that made me cry was it like $6 billion would solve world hunger?
Well, I said that specifically because he said, like, look, if someone could give me a plan for what that would look like, because I don't trust somebody just with my money, do you know what I mean, to solve world hunger, then, you know, I'm open to it and I would gladly donate the money. And I think it was I can't remember who it was, but it was some organization who's, like, deals specifically in these kinds of things was like, okay, here's the exact thing. This is what we would do with the money. And then he didn't do it. So, you know, because that's the kind of person he is.
See, this terrible. Is what I mean. I don't want to say he's a terrible person.
World Health. He is. Of course he is. Sad. You can't have that amount of money and neglect people for that long and, like, not only in your personal life but also get ahead in the ways that you do and come from that amount of wealth and call people, you know, like, terrible things and then hide behind your money, do you know what I mean, and claim you invented, like, PayPal and Tesla and all of like, it's not – you cannot be that kind of person without being terrible. It's not possible.
Okay, so, listener – this is why I burst into tears at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's talk about something that's like giving me joy because that's what I'm doing at the moment.
Yeah, I love joy. That? What do we got?
All right, it's super corny, but I loved it. It was great. It's an interview on YouTube with Barbara Streisand.
Oh my God, this is going to bring up our weird vibe, Claire.
All right, so it's weird. It's by a DJ called Zan Lowe. He's quite famous. He's opened for the Foo Fighters, lots of people, and he works now for Apple. And it's done by Apple, this interview.
Let me tell you something about Apple.
Oh, God, can we just get some joy?
Please.
Anyway, it's just a really, really great interview.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons is Barbara Streisand is so bizarre and present and witchy and awesome and creative and iconic. And in this, it's just so clear that she's still really childlike as well. I mean, she just turned 80 this week and she is so ahead of her time in what she was doing.
Absolutely.
So this interview just reminded me of all the reasons why I love her so much. I mean, she's so charismatic as well, but just the interesting ways that her mind works, I find really interesting. So like for 23 years, she's barely done any performing. She's kind of stepped away from the limelight.
You were telling me she doesn't like performing, right?
Yeah, she doesn't like that's performing live. And enjoy, in this interview she says this really interesting thing about how she doesn't like it because she's elevated on a stage, everyone's sitting in the audience, and it's a very weird, unnatural. She just says it's like very odd. Don't like it. There I'm up there, they're down there. If I could sit with them, that would be better. I just don't like being up there. She also said, which is so interesting, that vocally she just opens her mouth and sings. She's never had any formal training.
That is wild
and she's
to
like,
me.
Arguably one of the best singers in the entire world.
Yeah.
And it's just this natural gift. And we were talking about this, weren't we, about how there's people who are just naturally gifted and talented versus people who work really hard at a craft. And she's clearly incredibly hardworking and with a single-minded vision, like she just sees things that she wants to create. But just that idea that she's got this vocal talent and she doesn't walk around singing. She doesn't really enjoy singing. She does it if she's got an interesting story to tell.
Oh, so that's how her kind
of... So she said if she had to just sing happy birthday around the table, she'd probably sound terrible. Like, she said some anecdote about how she went to Andrew Bocelli's house and he like literally just sung at everybody all of the time. Whereas, like, you know, he barely spoke. He just sang at everyone. Whereas she was the opposite. She only really sings... She likes singing in a recording studio because she can hear herself back.
Right.
So I thought that was so fascinating. And then she just talks about all of the things she's done with her directing because it's obvious that she just gets obsessions.
Mm.
She's super hyper-focused and present. So her obsessions at the moment are to get particular films made. And she was talking a lot about being a director and what that was like back in the 70s when she made a film, Yentl, and how... Mm. It was one of the first times like a woman had written, produced, starred in, directed this movie, and she got all this negative press about it. People had a really hard time kind of wrapping their heads around her being in that role.
Was it an odd like concept for a movie as well for the time? Like, was
it was.
What is this? I don't get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly right. Mm. And you know, she was Yentl as a character is very unusual. She's not kind of that. You know, the character that you would think a woman would be just
and she's got, and this isn't an insult, but she's like, she's, this might sound like an insult, but she's like distinct looking. You know what I mean? You know, you pick Sarah and you're like, that's 100% Barbara Streisand. Do you know what I mean? From any era.
Yeah,
you know?
Completely. Yeah. Completely. She's just got this incredibly unusual way of moving in the world. What I find so interesting about her too is that she always wanted to be an actor.
Mm.
And the only reason she got into singing was because she could not get hired as an actor. And she came from New York City and had nothing. She lived with a single mother. They had nothing. They were living in the streets and in a really tiny flat. Her mother worked a lot. So her mum just wanted her to get a job where she could get paid as a nurse or a teacher. And she said there was a moment where she moved out of her house with her mum, moved in with some girlfriends in this one-bedroom flat in New York City. She was going to acting school next door. She said she was about 15 at the time.
Right.
She walked into her flat, saw the flat was in disarray. She hates making her bed. She saw her bed unmade. And she remembers distinctly saying to herself, well, I'm just going to have to be famous. Just because I can't make my bed and I need someone to make my bed for me every day.
Yeah.
And just that, and she said it's that will and that drive that has taken her through all of it. And to the point where, like, she wanted to be an actor, so she became the world's best singer so she could then get roles as an actor.
Yeah.
And then she wanted to direct. And so she only does projects that she has a single vision for.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just a really fascinating
This sounds interview. Like it sounds – and I think I knew this and you know this, but that's the, like, Lady Gaga as well kind of method, you
Completely.
Know? Like, she would have seen that and gone – Right, that's...
Oh, yeah. I mean, Lady Gaga made A Star is Born, which is the movie, remake of...
Exactly,
like,
yeah,
if you look at Lady Gaga, you can see so much of Barbara Streisand.
Who's in the original Star is Born with her?
I don't know who plays it alongside
I
want to
say
Barbara
Chris
Streisand.
Christopherson, maybe?
Yes, it is. Okay. It's Chris Christopherson, yeah. It's just so interesting
it's
when
you... It's been remade, like, every generation, isn't it? Because there's one from like the 30s or something.
Yeah, so, I think so. It's just, it's very iconic.
Yeah.
It is so fascinating to just see a female artist in that way and to realize the single most important thing she said, I think, in the whole interview was that, like, when they were talking about the state of the planet, and she's done a lot of work for the queer community and, you know, advocacy for, you know, the climate change, all of the things. And she said, the one thing that I'm so happy about is how much things have changed for women. And that made me so happy. And then also kind of like, oh, God, because things are still not great. But but just to think that actually change has happened. And sometimes we think change can't happen and doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And that we're just, you know, putting a hairdryer against the ocean. But listening to her say that in her 80, well, as an, you know, now she's turned 80, that's exciting.
I had no idea she was 80. Like, I
yeah. I mean, I that's have, amazing, isn't it?
But I mean, it makes sense when you look at, like,
yeah. But she's
how
still
long
so
she's been doing it.
That she tweets all the time and is very present. But I think that's so interesting. Just that in her lifetime, she has seen things change so much because she was so ahead of her time.
Yeah,
and just, you know, you wonder if she'd been born now, what she would have made because she's so clearly got these, like, incredibly clear visions for what she wants to make. And even in the music choices, she produced so much and was so pivotal in every single choice. acting wise, you know, vocal wise, backing wise. Like, you know, when you see those creatives who really, the reason they're so successful is because they are so focused on the minutiae of the art that they're making. And I just find that really interesting and also really heartening that she was saying that, that at least things have really stepped forward for women. So anyway, I loved it. It's on YouTube.
And the thing is, well, you cannot give any ground, you know, with none of that kind of stuff. You can't let your guard down, you know what I mean? Because people will take it. They'll take things from you, you know?
Yes, totally. And that's what she said. There's many lines.
We both looked at our beds when we were 15 and went, we don't want to make our beds. The difference is I'm just like, I'm not going to make my bed. I don't want to.
Yeah, there was a line that she said that what you just said reminded me of. Can you remind me what you said?
I don't know. You can't give any ground.
That's right.
You have to keep vigilant because that's when people fucking sneak in.
Well, she said she had this really sort of clear-headed vision always, that it was always about not compromising her creative vision for what she wanted to do. That's what it was. Yeah, and you don't give any ground. You just – she loves to collaborate, but
– I was talking more like on like social issues and things like that. That's what I was referring to. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, yeah, that's very true too. And we're seeing that now, right?
Yeah.
Completely. But I'm talking about in creativity and in a project that you're making, which I think you would think the same as
think,
well, right?
I actually think you have to compromise a lot of the time. That's what I think. Not in the things that matter, like matter to you deeply. Let a bunch of stuff go.
But
that's
you
like
would never compromise on being in control of it, though.
Probably not, no.
No, you know, realistically, like being able to have that final say.
Claire's always trying to get me to sell the network. She's like, James, one day we'll sell the network. And I'm like, I'm not selling it. I'll burn it down and I'll walk away.
No, actually, I think the discussion was if you died, then we would sell it.
Yeah, if you die, do whatever. If I die. If you die, I'll sell it. No, if I die, yeah, do whatever.
No, I don't know. I want to do that anyway. Anyway, I don't know how that works. And I don't know.
Get my brother, one of my brothers, to record the podcast with Mason just until people notice. We sound similar enough.
There's enough footage that there's probably a computer program that could just cobble together your voice
absolutely.
In different iterations.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I don't know. No, but I do think you think that, and I agree. You said it to me multiple times that having creative control over what you do is much more important.
And just like freedom in my life and our life is more important than anything else.
Which is, I guess, what she's built for herself, right? Mm. So she's now spent 23 years, you know, decorating houses and building beautiful properties and spending time with their family.
James Brolin, famous handsome actor James Brolin.
Yeah, just, you know, enjoying her life. And I think that's really fascinating to see someone at that level of stardom who's clearly just enjoying their life so much.
Yeah.
Which is just really heartening and inspiring, I think, because at the end of the day, right, that's what we're looking for, that contentment. And obviously if you're Barbra Streisand, you've hit all the things you've done, you know, the heights. But really, she said at the end of the day, it's about living in that moment all of the time. I find it really interesting. Anyway, that's that interview on YouTube.
Terrific.
We've talked for ages. I had another thing to recommend.
So did I, but we can save them for another week. And who knows what week that's going to look like. But in the meantime, did you know people can actually review the show? My
can
goodness.
They?
And they can
they,
do
James?
That in-app, just like B-Dog 794, who said, they gave us 5 stars. Thank you, B-Dog. 5 stars for an award-winning performance. I give it 5 stars for Heath Ledger's performance alone. Thank you so much. My goodness. To be compared to that of the late, great Heath Ledger.
Gosh, stop
now
my
that
being that. I love
is
that guy.
Something.
My
you know,
goodness.
You know he's dead, right?
I do know that.
Yeah,
I know.
Just in case you
rest
didn't know.
Rest in peace. Oh, my goodness. On a side note, Harry Styles at Coachella.
Did you get tickets?
No,
more
I haven't got tickets.
More tickets went on sale today, didn't they?
Yeah, more tickets. I know, I put a reminder on and I forgot again. I'm so bad.
Is that because
so
you lost your phone for 8 hours today?
Yes, I'm so bad with this stuff. I have to get someone else to get me the tickets. I can't do it. Anyway, maybe I can. I believe in myself. I'm like Barbra Streisand. I believe in myself enough I can get those goddamn tickets for Harry Styles.
All right, you can do it.
Anyway, but yeah, if do yourself a favor, go check out his outfits from Coachella. They were great. And him dancing with Lizzo. Amazing. So
all
good.
Right.
My favorite thing of the week. I have an email. If you would like to email the show, we would love you to, just like Tanner Moore has.
I would love to email the show.
Right,
what's
you can
the email address?
Suggestiblepod@gmail.com.
Suggestiblepod@gmail.com.
Correct. Hello, James and Claire, says Tanner.
Hello.
I just have been catching up on some episodes and wanted to reconnect a show for the two of you.
Ah.
James recently suggestibled Yellow Jackets, So I thought that you would both like the Amazon show The Wilds.
The Wilds.
It's similar, but also very different. It has.
Well, which is it? Is it similar or different? Sorry.
It has, from what I remember, an all-female cast with probably a dad or two who crashed the party. Definitely has some Lord of the Flies themes to it, but also has a fun twist that I honestly didn't see coming. My girlfriend and I really enjoyed it and are excited for season two coming up later this year. Have a great day, Tanner M. P.S. James has never given off the impression that he doesn't not ever have and everything all together at all times and never works below 100%. Definitely not weird either.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
That's really nice.
Was that an insult? It was a lot of words. But I appreciate it regardless.
I don't think it was.
Never have a...
James has 100%. Never given off the impression
yep.
that he doesn't not ever have an everything all together double at all negative. Times. Never doesn't, works 100%. Definitely not weird either.
Doesn't not ever and definitely... I don't know what that means.
I know. Is he saying that you definitely always seem like you're functioning at 100%? Or that you're definitely not functioning at
100%. I would say if I had to guess, it's probably that. But there's too many double negatives and I'm in a calorie deficit. My body is eating itself. I cannot figure this out. Though I just looked up The Wilds. I just one of those shows where it's like this is really well reviewed and people seem to love it. It's got a couple of seasons and I'm just like, I've never even heard of this.
There's so much out there. Excellent. Me cool. too. That sounds really cool. Thank you so much, Hannah. All right. That's the show. Thank you, as always, to Raw Collings for editing this week's episode. Thank you for putting up with our weird vibe this week.
Yeah.
We both had some rants.
Yeah.
James is on a calorie deficit.
Yeah.
Maybe I should check in every week. I've been on a Barbara Streisand deep dive.
That's true.
But we've come out in the end.
Would you want me to keep everybody updated? I know you're interested in my calorie deficit. Should I keep everybody else updated?
No.
What I'm actually doing, Claire, I'm doing my regular gym workout.
No, I'm going to turn it off. No, you're not. And instead of doing
more cardio, I'm adding more push-ups and pull-ups and squats, just body weight stuff, to my day. And it keeps my mind focused and it keeps my body moving.
All right, Joe Rogan.
What did you call me? You compared me to my Lord and Savior, Joe Rogan. I appreciate it.
Oh, the sarcasm. Can we go now?
Yes, we can go.
All right. Bye, everyone. Hope you have a good week.
Yeah. Now, Claire, I know that you're like, let's get out of here. And I agree. Let's get out of here. But I wish somebody in this room could tell me about your latest podcast.
Oh, it's a goodie this week. So this week I'm speaking to Rhiannon Joyce. Now, she is one of the members of the Shameless Media team. And I interviewed, if we haven't heard about Shameless Media before, Shameless were a podcast that started in 2018 with Zara McDonald and Michelle Andrews. And it has grown to be a media company in and of itself.
It's huge.
Girls are incredible what they've achieved and created. And Rhiannon is now heading their brand and partnerships.
Oh, awesome.
Operations, yeah. But she's just also just a really cool, vibey person in general. We talk a lot about what it's like to work at a high level in advertising and be a young woman and the kind of working conditions that
we're
there. What
do you know about being a young woman?
I don't know. Not much anymore, let me tell you. We talk about her mother and the role model that she set for her about trying to kind of have all of it and parent as well as have a career, about what it's like to be an opinionated young woman and how that's received, about her career in sport. For a little while when she was younger.
Oh, right, okay.
And I actually hadn't realized she was a really great basketballer, but she saw, and she's a twin sister, and she saw the trajectory for women's basketball at that time would kind of mean that there was no real money in it for her.
Yeah, right.
Because she wanted to play at a level that just didn't really exist.
She tall?
Yeah. But you know how in football, right, men can make a career at like a sort of, I don't really know what it's called.
You can do it like a local level.
At a local level and you can make a career out of it.
Do pretty well out of it,
and that's what Rhiannon was saying, that she wasn't sort of good enough to be, say, in the Australian team, but she was a very good basketballer and could have made – anyway, so we were talking about that and the choices that she made and just a whole lot of other things about how she met Mission Zara and just living fearlessly and taking – risks and opportunity. She stepped away from a really safe traditional job to work for Shameless and hasn't looked back since.
Oh, that's awesome. So
really cool. Anyway,
that sounds like an absolute inspiration to listen to. Two great minds coming together to talk about wonderful topics.
Thanks for the sarcasm.
It's not sarcasm, Claire. Not everything is sarcasm. Some things are genuine. Not this, but some things. That sounds really good, genuinely.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye.
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 Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.